Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. Now we know from the moral law, when I talk about the moral law, I mean the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are first listed in Exodus chapter 20. Specifically, Exodus 20 verse 15 is crystal clear when it says, "Thou shalt not steal." It's simple. Don't steal. Don't take something that's not yours, that doesn't belong to you, that belongs to somebody else. This is part of the moral law issued by the Lord God Almighty. No man is exempt from this holy commandment. Everybody is responsible to God to obey it. All men everywhere are subject to all the moral law of God that's set forth in the Ten Commandments. Just as it's wrong to steal from someone else, it's likewise sinful to partner with those who commit this dastardly deed of theft. If a man conceals or buys goods that he knows are stolen, he has become a partaker of other men's sins. 1 Timothy 5:22. As such, in the eyes of God, he is subject to the same penalty for transgression of the law. Now, there are people that argue that these commandments are antiquated, that we don't need them anymore, that Christians aren't to abide by them because Christ fulfilled the law on our behalf, and therefore we're not subject to them. And I ask then the simple question, if we're not responsible in any way to the laws of God, then which ones can we freely break? If there's no law to God, no accountability to Him ultimately, then steal all you want. Commit adultery. Covet and take. Lie all you want. Have no regard whatsoever for the Lord's name. Worship idols. Say, I've never heard a Baptist preacher say that. Good. Because if a Baptist preacher or any other preacher is preaching like that or telling folks that, then they're heretics. God's law never changes. In fact, I would argue that our entire law system in the United States of America is built on the Ten Commandments. It rests on the Ten Commandments. Now the reason why those who engage in theft are said to hate their own soul is because of the damning nature of this wicked sin. I wasn't raised in what you would call a Christian home. There was a moral ethic. My parents told me that it was wrong to steal. But I can tell you honestly, and I know I make you nervous when I confess something. Like the other day, I think it was Wednesday night, I was preaching on the law of love. You know, in Romans 13, 8 through 10, where it says that love does no ill to his neighbor, and love is the fulfilling of the law. And we looked at what Jesus said, that you're even to love your enemies. And I think a lot of you got really nervous when I told you what I feel like when I see a news clip or a video of Antifa attacking people. I feel like strangling them. I get enraged. It makes me mad. My first thought is not to pray for Antifa. And that's sinful. It's wrong. I should want to see them saved and come to know the Lord. It's part of my old nature. I hate it, but I'm telling you, this is reality. I have to fight against that, those kind of feelings. Now, stealing, when I was a kid, you never stole from your neighbors. But I can't tell you how many times my mother sent me to the store. She started doing this when I was probably 8 years old. They taught me how to cross Loveland Madera Road when I was about eight. That's the main drag in Loveland, Ohio. And so you'd cross Loveland Madera Road and you'd walk all the way down to Kroger's where my dad worked. It was probably maybe a little less than a mile away from our house. We had one car, like most people did back then. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom, like most were back then. And she didn't have a driver's license. And so anyway, she would send me to the store several times a week. And she'd give me the money. And there were times that I would buy something for myself and not even tell her about it. I was stealing. And now there were other times when I got convicted about it, and I'd say, "Mom, I used 10 cents to buy a Butterfinger." And she, "Oh, that's okay, honey." But it grieves me that I didn't feel any guilt whatsoever in taking from my own family's money to fulfill what I wanted. You say, "Oh, come on, you were 8 years old, you were 10 years old." Yeah, I was a little sinner. And unfortunately, and this is truth, man, little sinners grow up to be big sinners. And if you can get away with the sin of theft without being caught, it emboldens you to do even more. Now, let me relieve your fears about your preacher. I never developed into a car thief or any kind of big theft. So, you all right, Phyllis? Okay. Never pursued that. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was I knew instinctively that it was wrong to take something from somebody else that I didn't work for that belonged to them. It is frightening today to think of how many young people are growing up in homes that not only don't teach the Ten Commandments at all, but don't even teach their children any kind of morality. In fact, there are parents today, and my daughter told me this when she first started teaching elementary school years ago. She said, "I'd feel so bad for these kids. They didn't have, their parents weren't responsible. They'd come just to school and in the same clothes for 2 weeks. Hadn't been washed, she'd give him some clothes and give him some shoes. Thinking that the next day, those kids would wear those clothes and shoes to school. And the kids would come back in the same filthy clothes. And Katie said, "Hey, I gave you some clothes and shoes." And the kid said, "Yeah, my daddy said he needed them." And what they do is they take them and sell them. It's wicked. It's ungodly. But many parents are like that today. Not all. And it really is frightening. The fact is, though, transgression of the law, there's always a reward for transgression. You think there's only rewards for good things. But in the justice of God, there is also a just recompense of reward. In other words, you steal, you're going to get punished for it. Now, men may get away with stealing by escaping the justice of men. Happens all the time. I'll never forget the first time they stole the copper out of our air conditioning units down here. I was mowing the grass. It's been several years ago. I was mowing the grass, and all of a sudden I come right up to everything taken apart. The guts of that thing were out. Forgiveness was not on my mind. They stole, and I thought to myself, this ain't happening again. I'm going to get a gun. I'm going to hide right over in this little alcove, and when they come, I'm going to pop them. Again, forgive me. I asked the Lord to forgive me. I prayed, and I'm not belittling these kind of feelings that I have. It's wrong. It's sinful. But this shows you something about the way we all are. Somebody steals from you, and it can enrage you to the point where you break the commandment that says, "Thou shalt not kill." You say, "Well, you didn't actually shoot him." No, but Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart and you have no forgiveness, that's murder. That's a pretty broad interpretation of "thou shalt not kill," but it comes from the man, the God-man, who fulfilled all the law. And I'm so thankful that he did. Because I wouldn't, listen, if Jesus Christ would have not paid for my law-breaking, and if he wouldn't have suffered the punishment that I deserve, I would be in hell for all eternity, and I would have to say I deserve every minute of it. Because I broke the Ten Commandments. Realize this. Men may get away with it. Whoever stole that stuff got away with it unless they've been caught since then. But God sees everything. God sees all the theft by all men all the time. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God sees all. He knows all. He said, "Well, you just use that to scare people." You ought to be scared. To think that we can break God's laws without any repercussions whatsoever, that's a scary thought. But when you get into sin, the more you do it, the more calloused you become. And that's the way it is with theft, with stealing. But God sees it all. In fact, Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God sees our thoughts. He knows our thoughts. He sees our actions. He hears our words. There's a famous story in the Bible, and you probably recall it as soon as I say it. The children of Israel were going into the promised land, and Joshua had led them into the promised land, and God told them that He wanted them to take Jericho. He wanted them to march around the city, and that God would bring them victory. And He told them, "Now, I don't want you taking anything from Jericho, because that city is cursed. I don't want you to be defiled by their sin." And there was a man named Achan. And Achan, when they had defeated and they were going around, he saw really people with really nice clothes on. He said, "My family can use that." Then he found some gold and some silver. And he thought, "What's this going to hurt, man?" And he stole it. He took it. And he hid it. I've often thought, what must have been going through his mind when he's digging that hole to put that stuff in underneath his tent? He thought he got away with it. Well, God told the Israelites to go and take Ai. Well, they went up to do it. And they were defeated by just a small number of people. And they couldn't understand why. It was because of the sin of Achan. And God exposed Achan. God was the only one that knew about it. Nobody else but God knew what Achan had done. And God assembled all the Israelites. And the lot came to Achan and his family. And to his credit, Achan openly confessed, "I coveted, I saw it, I stole it, I tried to hide it, and this is a reason for our defeat." You know, God judged him and his whole family. There are consequences for sin. For the sin of stealing. Now, it may not be that dramatic. Do you realize that in the state of California, the Democratic legislature, the progressive legislature in the state of California, in an attempt to halt so-called violent crime, you can steal up to $950 and get away with it. Does that make any sense whatsoever? As long as what you take is not up to $950, it's not a felony, there's really no real punishment for it. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When you don't have laws, people are going to take advantage of it. It's just that simple. And so it a lot of homeless people in California just steal stuff. Because they know they're not going to get in trouble for it. Say, well, Walmart, they can steal from Walmart. They can stand to lose it. You're justifying their sin. Is it right for me to go steal LeBron James' Rolls Royce if I had the ability to do it? Say, well, he won't even miss that Rolls Royce. That's not the point. The point is, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. He's dribbled a ball long enough and strong enough to make that money. It belongs to him, not me. I didn't earn it. Say, yeah, but he's rich. He can afford. That should not even enter into the equation. It doesn't belong to you. You should not, thou shalt not steal. This is not being taught today. And the man who steals from others proves that he loves money more than God. He loves possessions more than God. The thief lusts after that which does not belong to him. And he acts on his covetous desires by stealing. He's in violation not just of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, but also the tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet, or lust after, and desire to take what belongs to your neighbor. That compounds his punishment. A man who defies God's law is sure to be punished. And that for all eternity in the lake of fire. The folks that feel emboldened to steal up to $950 there in California, the state law may not punish them, but God Almighty will punish them. And you say, oh, but they're poor. You know what? Just because you're poor, it doesn't mean that you should be immortal. It doesn't mean that you have freedom to break the law. In fact, if every human being would actually abide by the principles that are set forth in the law of God, there would be so much harmony, so much more harmony in our world. Because the law is just and holy and good. There's nothing at all wrong with the law. It's us. We're the ones that are at fault. Now, I'm going to wade in. I don't believe it's right for a government to steal from people. I don't trust that our government is right now, I think, $22 or $23 trillion in debt, whatever that means. It's kind of like evolution, you know. They make up these numbers. $23 trillion in debt. And my problem is, the government takes money from people and then they think they better know how to use that money than Brad does. The money he's earned. Now don't get me wrong. I have always paid my taxes. I believe in keeping the roads up. I believe in keeping the police force. But I don't think it's right to take money from somebody who's worked hard to get it and give it to people who are not working and have no intention of working. Not because... Now, don't get me wrong. I think you ought to help people that cannot work. Really, I believe that really resides in families and churches before the government ever gets involved. But that aside, I don't think it incentivizes people to not do anything. There's a lot. Listen, there are tons of young people today that think that their whole college debt, when the government is instrumental, and these large universities are instrumental in putting this debt on these young people, but the young people incur it, and they feel entitled that they shouldn't have to pay it back. Well, that makes the hair on my neck stand up. Because I went to college, and I had to work full time while I was going to college, and I wrote a check every semester. I enrolled in classes, I wrote the check out of my checking account, and paid for my college. Now, I didn't get it done in 4 years. For one thing, I didn't do good in high school, so I didn't get any scholarships or anything. In fact, I didn't know what a student loan was. I just knew if I was going to go to college, I had to pay for it. My mom and dad weren't going to do it, so I paid for it as I went. It's wrong to steal. As individuals, it's wrong for a government to steal from people. The only way to escape the just condemnation of the law is to trust in the only person who perfectly obeyed the law. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but so far this lesson has been pretty dark. We've all broken law. You look at the Ten Commandments, you ain't lived up to any of them. Completely. In fact, James says you break one, you've broken all of them. Only the perfect life, the merits, the obedience, the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ can save any poor transgressor from the guilt and condemnation of the law. I have never in my life preached or believed that somebody can be saved by just keeping the law. That won't save you. You don't have the ability for number one. But the Bible says this in Acts 13, 38 and 39, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Justified, declared not guilty through Jesus Christ. Now, there's a second part of this verse. "He that heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not." Just as it's wrong for a man to steal or to partner with them who steal, it's also wrong for people to lie about it in court. In a court of law, if a man swears to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him in God's name, he places himself under a curse if he lies or is guilty of perjury under oath. And often men are influenced by the fear of man or retribution, so they lie under oath. They'll not betray the confidence of the thief, and by so doing place themselves under a curse if they've participated in the theft. I'll close with this quote by George Lawson. those who are under examination upon oath should consider this text. If they swear that they will tell everything they know about the affair before the judge, or if they are required by proper authority to bear witness about a crime which ought to be punished, they are enemies to justice and haters of their own souls if they do not give a faithful and honest declaration of the truth. Men may partake of other men's sins not only by overlooking them, but by refusing to concur in proper endeavors to have them punished for a warning to others. And really, this next verse that we'll consider next time really goes along with it. The fear of man bringeth a snare. We'll stop there today.